Chapter 18. The Mirror Bright slipped free of Ryloth's gravity, and Joff could feel the increased liberty of the wings, the lack of atmospheric friction holding them back. He loved that moment, when a ship knew itself to be in space again. And the Mirror Bright was a beauty of a ship. Joff knew he'd probably never get another chance to fly her again. Greer would reclaim this chair the first chance she got, so he wanted to enjoy it while he could.
"We're clear of Ryloth, ma'am,"
he called back to Princess Leia.
"Ready to lay in a course back to Hosnian Prime."
The princess said, "Not yet."
"Not yet?"
C-3PO toddled closer to the cockpit.
"But your highness, we've promised to attend Senator Vickley's next gala. And of course your impending campaign will require due preparation."
"I said, not yet." Princess Leia stepped around C-3PO to stand beside Joff, the many lights on the console illuminating her features in faint shades of red and gold. "Run a scan on the satellites you hijacked the other day, Lieutenant. Let's see if Rinriven Dai is still on Sibensko. I suspect he stays on the move these days." Joff tuned into the satellite's signal, trying hard to keep his pride under wraps. Yeah, okay, he should have cleared things with her first, but what really mattered was that he'd had a good idea, she knew it was a good idea, and this investigation was finally getting somewhere.
"We're getting something. Okay, he's definitely changed locations already. The last signals went out to... Wait, that can't be right."
He frowned.
"Harloff Minor?"
"Surely you must know Harloff Minor,"
C-3PO insisted.
"Why, it's very near Coruscant, a center of commerce and culture."
"I know Harloff Minor," Joff said. "It just doesn't seem like the kind of place where the head of a cartel would hang out."
Princess Leia shook her head. "Actually, it makes perfect sense. Rinriven Dai still hasn't been charged with any major crimes. Large, heavily traveled worlds like Harloff Minor? The officials there won't be on the lookout for him. The alerts about my near abduction on Bastatha won't even register on their scanners." She tapped her fingers on the console, deep in thought. "That's not where Rinriven does business. That's where he goes when he wants to seem respectable, legitimate."
"So as long as he's there, he's not doing anything illegal?" Joff said.
When the princess nodded, he shrugged.
"Guess we have to wait until the satellites tell us something more interesting."
"That's interesting enough." The princess got to her feet. "Lieutenant Seastriker, lay in a course for Harloff Minor." This mission was even better than he'd dared hope for. It was all Joff could do to keep from grinning.
"Harloff Minor?"
C-3PO protested.
"Whatever are we to do there?"
Princess Leia smiled back at them both as she returned to her cabin. "We're inviting Rinriven Dai to dinner." Harloff Minor offered a variety of climates and cities for the discerning traveler, which meant that any number of galactic guides could recommend good restaurants. Leia selected a sophisticated yet informal place in one of the larger equatorial cities, both because of its excellent cuisine and because it offered private tables on small terraces. Any guest would be impressed by the view.
"Splendid,"
Rinriven said as he strode onto the terrace that evening, wearing black garments so exquisite Lady Carice Sindian might have asked for the name of his tailor.
"Utterly splendid. Your taste is impeccable, Hot Slayer."
"I'm glad we agree. On this, at least." Leia rose from her chair to greet him, the breezes tugging at the soft layers of her long green gown. Rinriven took her offered hand, bent, and kissed it. What Nikto's had for lips were rather rubbery, but he was doing the best he could.
"On more than this, I hope."
"I suppose we'll see."
"Such a relief to know you weren't harmed in that terrible incident. They're calling it the napkin bombing, I hear. Dreadful."
Oddly, Rinriven didn't only sound sincere. He sounded angry, as if the bombers had insulted him personally.
"Such a reckless, childish act. One should never use force when persuasion is adequate.
Leia raised an eyebrow. And what is it you think the bombers wanted to persuade us of?
Their own might,
Rin Riven said with disgust.
Their determination to seize power by first destroying the Senate. And in the end, was it anything more than a nuisance? The greatest damage was to a mere statue.
His attitude toward the bombing and those responsible bore consideration. But Leia needed to steer him toward other matters now. Let's change the subject. Don't you think it would be a shame to waste such a beautiful evening?
You're right, of course.
He gave her his thin, polite smile, the one that so reminded her of Tarkin.
Such people aren't worth worrying about.
Leia gestured toward their table. Please, sit down. The restaurant terrace overlooked much of the city, its ornate architecture almost golden in the warm moonlight. A wide river snaked through the scene, capturing that light and reflecting it. Night had fallen, and the illuminated windows of the nearby building seemed to hang in the darkness like lanterns. I chose the menu, Leia said, though I have nothing to offer you as exquisite as the Tonaray wine. Rin Riven inclined his leathery head.
Should I ever come across another bottle, I promise you it shall be yours.
No, the one glass was enough. You can't dwell on the past. Leia had always known this, had always been aware that she could never, ever look back. The server droids presented the meal. Tender meats cooked in delicate sauces, salads crisp as cool air, and soups thickened to savory perfection. She had arranged for a few kebabs of Nikto beetles, which she knew to be one of their favorite delicacies, but trusted Rin Riven wouldn't insist she try it. Other topics interested him more.
To what do I owe this unexpected pleasure, Hotslayer?
There are so many topics we should discuss, Rin Riven. I hardly know where to begin. Leia knew the precise fraction of a second she needed to time her pause. You realize, of course, that I had no idea Senator Casterfo would be arriving that day.
You looked as astonished as I felt.
Rin Riven's chuckle didn't disguise his irritation.
But I know the type. Young, hungry for glory, not caring who gets in their way.
A few weeks ago, I would have agreed with you, Leia thought. Apparently, we never age out of making fools of ourselves. He still attached himself to the investigation like a Minock, except Minocks are easier to scrape off. So I thought I should seize the chance to speak to you without, shall we say, senatorial interference.
Very prudent of you.
Rin Riven nodded. You've risen to prominence very quickly. So quickly that some would say you must have had help. She'd decided to spring that one question on him, accurate enough to put him on edge, but still so far removed from what they'd learned to date that Rin Riven would feel secure. The obvious response would be a protest that he was an enterprising man, cunning and capable, someone who could build his empire as swiftly as he chose. Instead, he shrugged fluidly and helped himself to another glass of the Corellian brandy.
What can I say? Many wish to become rich, but few are willing to take the risks necessary to do it. For those of us who do not fear risk, opportunities await. Opportunities given to us by those more timid, who will happily accept less than they might have had, only to keep themselves safe.
He pronounced the last word as though it were an obscenity. So you reached out to like-minded individuals, found enough to get started.
It wasn't so simple as that. It took time, Hotslayer. Time and care. What seems like a quick rise to you was, for me, the culmination of many years of work.
His explanation was logical and plausible. He delivered it easily, even with charm. Under certain circumstances, Leia might have wondered if he were telling at least a partial truth. Instead, she knew he had rehearsed this many times, beginning long ago, well before she had ever begun her investigation. I wonder who helped you rehearse. Rinriven held his goblet in one leathery hand, as if letting the moonlight sink into the wine.
My work bears benefits for all my partners, Hut Slayer, whether old or new. Dare I hope that this invitation hints at a potential new partnership?
I don't take bribes, Leia said. The next pause was even more delicate than her last, but she knew how to spin it. Yet, I question whether the Galactic Senate will continue to survive in its present form. The napkin bombing has been profoundly destabilizing. When I left, the Senate had degenerated to chaos.
Oh, we know the Senate is poised at the brink of change.
A Nikto grin was a fearsome thing, fanged and too bright.
A first senator is to be chosen. A single person with true authority. And rumor has it that you are the most likely victor.
Don't put too much stock in rumors, Rinriven. I haven't even officially said I would run.
We both know your candidacy is inevitable.
Perhaps, but my victory is not.
Now I see. We all need powerful friends, do we not?
Rinriven's beady eyes glinted.
Maybe more than one kind of influence will be needed to win this election?
Leia hadn't even thought of bluffing about that. But she seized on it as a good excuse, one Rinriven would believe in completely because it was the conclusion he'd hatched himself. We're getting ahead of ourselves. That's a discussion for a later day. Tonight is simply a matter of rebuilding bridges. He nodded in satisfaction.
Excellent. I have one point of curiosity, though. How did you find me here?
This question she was ready for. You're not the only one with contacts, you know. I knew you to be a man of refined preferences, so I put the word out in a few likely places that I'd love to hear when you were next visiting. To have this happen so quickly, however, well, it proves we have similar tastes in some things, at least. She held out her hand to gesture toward the view. Really, it was spectacular. She'd always meant to bring Han here, but they'd never made it happen. Someday, she promised herself. Someday soon. You gave me a gift when we last met, she continued. I appreciate your thoughtfulness, and hope you will understand why I feel the need to return it to you. Leia reached into her pocket and pulled forth the holocube documenting her murder of Jabba the Hutt. She flicked it on, activating the scene for the very last time. Rinriven cocked his head as if scenting prey.
Surely you cannot give up such a treasure.
As I said before, Rinriven, you can't dwell on the past. At least I can't. And I would hate to deprive you of the sight of your worst enemy's death. As the translucent images writhed above the cube, Jabba's tail thrashing, his arms straining, Leia set it in front of Rinriven Dai. Besides, I don't need the hologram. I have the memory.
I envy you that, Hutt Slayer.
Rinriven leaned closer, avidly watching Jabba's death all over again. Leia suspected that was the first wholly honest thing Rinriven had said all night. In her mind, she replayed what he'd said about powerful friends. Rinriven's ego wouldn't allow him to admit he'd been sponsored into his current position, but with those two words, he'd admitted he had help. Now to find who helped him. He continued,
"Thoughtfulness is the sign of a good ally."
Yes, it is. Silently, she added, and the sign of a terrible enemy. Leia had known the Galactic Senate would still be recovering from the terror, anger, and suspicion ignited by the napkin bombing. But she hadn't prepared for the situation to be even worse.
I've been going through communiques ever since we entered range of Hosnian Prime, but I can't get them sorted.
Corey's fingers flew over her data pad, but she lacked Greer's absolute efficiency.
As soon as I get them prioritized, another dozen come in.
I fear Miss Sella is correct.
C-3PO sounded as close as a droid could come to mournful.
The competing requests are cross-referenced upon so many vectors. Why, there's no telling which is of primary importance.
Don't worry about it. Leia settled onto one of the long padded benches of the Mirror Bright. Just start sending some of the higher priority ones my way. Make sure we have date and timestamp. We'll figure out the rest as we go. First, Ty Lin's face appeared, his usual serenity marred by weariness and doubt.
Princess Leia, I realize that you consider the mission to Ryloth of the highest importance, but this is a time when the populist candidate for first senator should be visible. The people would be reassured by your presence. They need to know that you are the rock we can rely on in such troubled times. Please return as soon as you can.
He'd sent this within 2 days of her departure. Well, so much for being the rock of the galaxy. Leia sighed and moved on. Next came Varish, who was propped up in what appeared to be a med center bed, albeit one that had been decorated with velvet pillows and a silk coverlet.
Leia! 3 days in and I'm still regrowing my arm bones! Still! They keep talking about improvements in Bacta therapy, but I have to say I'll believe that when I see it. And I am most decidedly not seeing it.
Varish sank back onto her sumptuous cushions, revealing only then some of the pain beneath her cheery demeanor.
Do come and visit me as soon as you get back, won't you? I'm bored to tears.
After this came a set of news files from various sources around the galaxy, arranged in one of the auto-sort sequences Leia had pre-programmed. The sequences rotated at random, ensuring that she would always review a broad spectrum of galactic information and opinion. At least, that was how it had always worked before. Now, there were two sides, two theories, two diametrically opposed opinions, and no middle ground to speak of. Coruscant.
Although no concrete links between the bombing and the populist faction have been firmly established, sources report several clandestine meetings between populist senators in the weeks leading up to the Napkin bombing. Experts have noted that the warning was given only to a single populist.
Gatalenta.
Conflict and discord have long divided the Senate, but few issues have been more injurious than this current bombing. Centrist efforts to assign blame to those very populist senators most endangered by the explosion continue in defiance of all logic.
Arcanus.
How long must we act out the charade of cooperation with people so depraved that they would risk the lives of thousands only to cast themselves as victims?
Naboo.
The centrists refuse to content themselves with arguing for greater militarization. No, they commit acts of violence in order to scare the populace into voting them ultimate power.
Leia cut that off. She knew now how polarized the issue had become. Beyond that, nothing any of these broadcasts said was likely to be intelligent or useful. Bringing up the next message made her smile as Han's face took shape.
Leia, looks like you're not back from Ryloth yet. Hope that means your side project is going well.
This was their way of referring to her current investigation. Han knew only the basics, both for his safety and for that of the mission.
You probably know we're headed to the fourth stage of the Sabres. The sublight relay round means I'm out of comm range for a while.
Now Han would be as incommunicado as Luke and Ben. Leia felt a pang of loneliness that she hoped didn't show on her face.
Make sure you're taking care of yourself, all right? It's gonna be a while before I can be back to take care of you, and I know how good you are at getting into trouble.
Han's lopsided grin made him look, just for a moment, like the dashing young smuggler she'd first met.
That's what I like best about you, you know.
His message faded away to be replaced by more broadcasts, which Leia rapidly flipped through with increasing irritation. several formal Senate notices of debates called and canceled and called again, and another message from Varish, now back home, but in a sling and eager for company. Instead of distraction, Varish now wanted to talk about the iniquity of the centrists. She seemed sure the two of them could single-handedly find the perpetrator. C-3PO piped up.
Your Highness, we have an incoming message from Senator Casterfo. A recorded one, rather than live.
Leia's discouragement melted away in an instant. Bring it up now. Bluish static shifted into the image of Ransom's face.
Princess Leia, our mission has proved successful beyond our wildest hopes. Details should wait until we can meet in person, or at least speak via a secured channel. But I wanted to let you know immediately that our investigation has taken a dramatic leap forward.
He sat on the edge of his seat, energized to the point of exhilaration. Whatever had happened on Daxam 4 hadn't only been useful. Ransom had enjoyed himself immensely. At least someone was having fun. As his image faded, Leia murmured, "We're going to have plenty to talk about."
"Shall I cue more messages for you, Princess Leia?"
C-3PO asked.
"There are, oh my, nearly 4 dozen more."
"I've heard enough for now." She got to her feet, aware of every aching muscle in her back. All she wanted was to return to her bunk and sleep most of the way back to Hosnian Prime. Yet she realized that Joff and Corey were sitting in the cockpit silently. Corey hugged herself. Joff kept fiddling with instruments he must have already set and checked. Their youthful confidence seemed to have been drained away from them. Leia went to the doorway. "Everything all right in here?"
"Yes, Your Highness."
Corey sounded even more expressionless than a primitive droid, and Joff simply nodded. "Hey," Leia said. "Come on, what's the matter? If something's bothering you about our findings, about any part of this mission..."
"It's not that, ma'am."
Joff had never sounded so grave to her before.
"It's just that listening to those news reports, well, things sound bad."
Corey added,
"They were bad before. But now, Princess Leia, do you think the New Republic could collapse?"
Leia had asked herself if the Senate would break down, whether they would come to a constitutional crisis. She wondered whether the napkin bombing would provoke some kind of conflict on a smaller scale. But she had not consciously believed total governmental collapse could come to pass. And if it did, war would come along with it. Only now did Leia understand that she'd been calculating that risk all along, moving it closer and closer to the realm of the possible within her own mind. Corey's fear did not shock Leia as much as the realization that she'd been coming to this conclusion herself. "I won't lie to you." Leia looked down at Joff and Corey, recognizing anew how young they were. If she could not act as a mother to her own son right now, she could at least help these two through the difficult days to come. If the two factions within the Senate continue tearing each other apart like this, schism is a possibility. But just because it's possible doesn't mean it's probable. We still have time to work things out.
"But will we?"
Corey asked in a small voice. "I hope so," Leia said. What she truly felt was closer to determination than hope. The devastation of the war, the countless lives lost in combat, the sheer terrible waste of it. They couldn't let that happen again. Surely the other senators from the rest of the galaxy felt the same way. Surely. There has to be a way out of this, Leia thought. And it's up to me to find it.